Quiet, numbskulls. I'm broadcasting.
Quiet, we're on the air.
Hello, everybody.
Hello, Ma. Hello, Pa.
This broadcast is coming to you through the courtesy of Brighto, and it's six delicious flavors.
Are you listening?
Now, don't go away, ladies and gentlemen. We'll soon be with you. Boom!
Cuckoo!
Hey, Dan Sheridan here with your American History Shorts. This is short number one. We're going to talk about pre-American history, geography, and the natives. First of all, let's talk about pre-American history, the Middle Ages in Europe. You know, America's story can't be told without first telling the story of the Middle Ages in Europe. And that's because Europeans who came out of that era were the ones who made the voyages of discovery and planted colonies in the Americas. And they brought with them their heritage. That means their beliefs, their forms of government, and their ways of doing things, and many other things. So they brought that heritage with them and molded it to their experience in the New World. So it's good to get to know them. Europeans became curious about parts of the world unknown to them, and this curiosity was kindled by an intellectual movement which we call the Renaissance. And a byproduct of that movement was a wider interest in sea travel. Then, one day, the Turks invaded Central Asia and closed off profitable trade routes between Europe and India. And this was a trade which enriched many cities and merchants of Europe. Well, this alarming event elevated seafaring ventures to the highest priority with the goal of finding a new route to India in order to resume that profitable trade. America, the beautiful indeed, the geography of America. Though they didn't know it at the time, the geography of America made it the perfect place to build a new world. John Jay wrote in Federalist No. 2 these famous words: Providence has in a particular manner blessed it with a variety of soils and productions, and watered it with innumerable streams for the delight and accommodation of its inhabitants. A succession of navigable waters forms a kind of chain round its borders, as if to bind it together. While the most noble rivers in the world, running at convenient distances, present them with highways for the easy communication of friendly aids and the mutual transportation and exchange of their various commodities. Wow, that's a true statement. Amazing words by the former Chief Justice John Jay, our first Chief Justice, by the way. The Atlantic coast has numerous rivers and excellent harbors. From the waterline, the land rises to the summit of the Appalachian Mountains and then descends to the fertile St. Lawrence and Mississippi River basins. Westward, the land rises until it reaches the high Rockies and the great upland beyond. And beyond the Sierra Nevada, it slopes down to the Pacific coast. Easy divides and passes connect the various parts of the country with one another. Hey, how about we let John Wayne, a famous American actor, talk about our beautiful America?
You ask me why I love her? Well, give me time and I'll explain. You've seen a Kansas sunset or an Arizona rain? Have you drifted on a bayou down Louisiana way? Have you watched the cold fog drifting over San Francisco Bay? Have you heard a Bob White calling in the Carolina Pines? Or heard the bellow of a diesel at the Appalachia Mines? Does the call of the Niagara thrill you when you hear her waters roar? You look with awe and wonder at her Massachusetts shore where men who braved a hard new world first stepped on Plymouth Rock. Do you think of them when you stroll along a New York City dock? Have you seen a snowflake drifting in the Rockies way up high? Have you seen the sun come blazing down from a bright Nevada sky? Do you hail to the Columbia as she rushes to the sea? Or bow your head at Gettysburg? Our struggle to be free? Have you seen the mighty Tetons? Have you watched an eagle soar? Have you seen the Mississippi roll along Missouri's shore? Have you felt a chill at Michigan when on a winter's day her waters rage along the shore in thunderous display? Does Does the word aloha make you warm? You stare in disbelief when you see the surf come roaring in at Waimea Reef. From Alaska's cold to the Everglades, from the Rio Grande to Maine, my heart cries out. My pulse runs fast, the might of her domain. You ask me why I love her? I've a million reasons why. My beautiful America, beneath God's wide, wide sky.
The natives were here first, so let's talk about the natives. Will Rogers, a descendant of the Cherokee, says his descendants didn't come over on the Mayflower, but they met the boat. He's got that right. Well, these natives, wrongly called Indians, occupied this territory first. They were excellent as warriors, hunters, and farmers, and they had a lot of great qualities. The Indians had crops unknown to Europeans like corn, potatoes, and tobacco. And us Irishmen are really grateful for those potatoes, I'll tell you. Like Europeans, the natives were cruel to each other. They had their confederations for waging war and extorting other tribes, and they had their pueblos for protection from oppressive attackers. In many ways, the natives here in North and South America were just like Europeans. They fought with each other, and they tortured each other. Well, like Europeans too, there was much about the natives that was admirable. Many of the natives of what is now the United States lived in longhouses and roundhouses. They lived mainly by hunting. They supplemented that with some farming, and they made absolutely gorgeous pottery. The natives of the Southwest, Mexico, and South America, especially the Peruvians, were the most advanced. All right, that's all I have time for. I gotta run. Listen, for more information and deeper studies of this portion of American history, listen to my podcast, America's Story, Part 1, Discovery. You can find it at SheridanHistory.com. It's been a pleasure spending this time with you. I really hope you learned something. Remember, until we meet again, be good to one another, 'cause we're in this together.